Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
To Radha Kala Chanjidam, to all the assembled devotees, visible to my eyes and those that are not visible, to those that have spiritual eyes, I'm still working on it. This is Monday, May the 15th. We're already going into almost the half of the year, and we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 14, and the topic of the chapter is Lord Krishna is explaining the yoga system to Uddhava. Very special devotee, Uddhava, to have the explanations of the yoga system explained to him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we're going to be covering today text 20, but we always like to have the backup of the Lord, the potency of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. And always before, usually after, I have an opportunity to do a lecture, I'll apologize for any inconsistencies, any imperfections. Understand that as long as we're in this material world, there are going to be imperfections, but I'm not trying to make them all, so forgive me for them, and please feel free to correct me afterwards. And let's see how the Lord wants to purify me today. Sometimes it's very good to come to the Lord as a humble devotee, always, because when we come thinking that we actually know so much and we're so puffed up, that's a perfect time for Krishna to smash the ego. So I pray that any opportunity that I have to come before the humble and the assembled devotees, that never happens to me. I pray that never happens. So we'll sing Jaya Radha Madhava.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. 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 Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dari. 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 Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Chararanjanan. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. 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 Jaya Gopi Bijana Vallabha Girivada Dari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Radha Kala Chandi Radha Kala Chandi Radhe Radha Kala Chandi Radha Kala Chandi Radhe Kala Chandi, Radha Kala Chandi Radhe, Radha Kala Chandi, Radha Kala Chandi Radhe, Jaya Gaur Nitai, 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 Jaya Gaur Jaya Goranitai, 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 Jaya Goranitai, Jaya Goranitai, Jaya Goranitai, Jaya Goranitai, Jaya Goranitai, Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra, Jaya Jaya Jagannath. Nitai Goro Haribo 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 Nitai Goro Haribo Nitai Goro Haribo 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 Nitai Goro Haribo Nitai Goro Haribo 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 Nitai Goro Haribo Nitai Goro Haribo Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Premananda.
Always grateful and always thankful for an opportunity to keep learning, because as long as we're in this material world, we will never stop learning. So, as we're discussing, in the past, the yoga system, and we'll read from text 20, and then we'll go word by word, then we'll do the translation and the purport, and I'm such a creature of habit that sometimes I'll do the same thing over and over again because it works for me, so I don't feel like changing it. I don't find the need to change it. But every now and then, it's always good to do something a little differently. So just be aware that from time to time, I may change up in how I'm doing what I'm doing, but sticking to the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So don't be alerted. I'm not going to change anything, but it's from time to time. Usually, whoever is giving the who's reading from the scriptures, basically they're reading. And sometimes when Krishna gives an audience, I'm not going to throw you off track. I'm not going to catch you off guard today, but when Krishna gives audience, I'd like to ask questions. I won't do it today, but that's something that I'd like to do in the future, just to get an idea of where we are and what we understand and what we're reading, because it takes a very special individual to read the scriptures, to even come to this point where you're hearing from the scriptures and what to say of reading it, and even going even further in understanding it. So from time to time, it's always good to have a back and forth conversation, or what do they call it, a tete-a-tete, or just an understanding that this is what we're reading and this is what I'm understanding. What are you understanding? It's always fair to do that. So just thought I'd give you a heads up. I don't know when I'll do that, but just as a preparation, before text 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gnana Timrandasya Gananjana Chalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam. It's always good that we remember where we've come from. We're all here. We're born in the darkest of ignorance. Our spiritual master, so merciful that he opens our eyes with the torch of knowledge. And we really do owe our spiritual master our humble obeisances. And I was more in tune with that. Even I became more in tune with that whenever someone special comes to speak. And we have an abundance of special speakers here in Radhakala Chanjidam. However, we were fated. We were giving a mercy of having His Holiness Jayapataka Swami. And when you have a pure soul here, they speak such nectar. And what I notice is sometimes it clicks. It's like, ah, I got it. I understand. And it's so sweet. It is so sweet. And, you know, even still, he's saying how much he is indebted to Srila Prabhupada, which is why he continues on his mission. But let me, I can go on and on, but I just happen to think about giving obeisances and appreciating things. So let me get back to the text. I digress. But we are very fortunate in Radhakala Chandi Dham to be so blessed by the deities. Na sadyati mam yoga na sankhyam dharma udava na swaryas tapastyago yata bhaktir mamojita na sada sadyati mam yoga.
Na
sadyati mam yogo. Na sankhyam dharma udava.
Na sankhyam dharma udava.
Na sadyas tapastyago.
Na swadhyayas tapastyago.
Yakta bhakti mamojita.
Yakta bhakti mamojita.
Vartita.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Sadhyati.
Sadhyati.
Brings under control.
Brings under control.
Mum.
Mum.
Me.
Me.
Yoga.
Yoga.
The yoga system.
The yoga system.
Na.
Nor.
Sankhyam. The system of Sankhya philosophy. Dharma. Pious activities within the Vanashram system.
Pious activities within the Vanashram system.
Uddhava.
My dear Uddhava.
Na.
No.
Not.
Not.
Swadhyay.
Swadhyay.
Vedic study.
Tapa.
Tapa.
Austerity.
Tyaga.
Renunciation.
Yatta.
As.
Bhakti.
Devotional service.
Mama.
Unto me.
Urjita.
Strongly developed.
Now the translation is, my dear Uddhava, the unalloyed devotional service rendered to me by my devotees brings me under their control. I cannot be thus controlled by those engaged in mystic yoga, Sankhya philosophy, pious work, Vedic studies, austerity, or renunciation. So again, my dear Uddhava, the unalloyed devotional service rendered to me by my devotees brings me under their control. I cannot be thus controlled by those engaged in mystic yoga, Sankhya philosophy, pious work, Vedic study, austerity, or renunciation. And this is a brief translation and purport, but it is very thorough in the point that is being made here. And the purport reads as such. One may make Krishna the goal of mystic yoga, Sankhya philosophy, etc. Yet such activities do not please the Lord as much as direct loving service, which one practices by hearing and chanting about the Lord and executing his mission. Srila Rupa Goswami states, Gnana Karmati Anavritam, a devotee should simply depend on Krishna and should not unnecessarily complicate his loving service with tendencies toward fruitive work or mental speculation. The residents of Vrindavan simply depend on Lord Krishna. When the great serpent Agasura appeared in the precincts of Raja, the cowherd boys, completely confident in their friendship with Lord Krishna, fearlessly marched into the serpent's gigantic mouth. Such pure love for Krishna brings the Lord under the control of the devotee. So a lot can be said by the reading of this purport and the understanding of it by individuals. I thought about the Lord's pastimes, and you have to remember that the Lord's pastimes are for our benefit, but they're also examples that we can use for life's experiences. And I'll get to that about the serpent and the Agasura serpent, and how the cowherd boys depended so completely on the Lord I also looked at the first couple of lines of Nectar, and I thought about how some people on their quest for understanding life sometimes become diverted based on their associations or whoever it is that they listen to. And gosh, my mind began to wander because I began to think of how important it is to hear from someone who actually knows what's going on. There's so many different points of view on the internet. You can get so many different opinions on how to cook, how to clean, how to do this, how to do that. But unless you have the understanding that actually works for you, then you're just spinning your wheels. Sometimes you'll find someone to listen to when you have such faith in them that even if what they're saying makes absolutely no sense, because you seem to respect them, you go with what they're saying and you agree. I thought about that over the weekend because I had someone come out to repair a the little gadget on the tub that goes up to keep the water, and it goes down. I guess I still have an old-fashioned tub, but it stays down to let the water out. So the guy comes out, and he's supposed to repair it. So he's asking me how it's working, and I'm going, it's not working. He said, it's supposed to stay down when I let the water out. And unless I've lost my mind in the last 20 years, that's the way the system works. But this young man is looking at me saying, oh, no, that's the way it's supposed to. You're supposed to hold it up. You know, when you want the water to stay in, you're supposed to push it down when the water goes out. And I'm thinking, no, you're supposed to keep it. It's supposed to stay down in position. And he's sitting and he's standing there trying to make me believe this. And I'm thinking, you know, if I didn't know any better and if I had just gotten off of a ship from another planet, I probably believe this guy. But the point is, you have to be very careful who you listen to. It's very important when you come in touch with devotees and you're being guided to read the scriptures, listen intently, ask questions, and ask more questions if nothing is understood. But getting back to the purport, it talks about how the mystic yoga system is not so important. What is the point in the mystic yoga system? I thought about that, and it's like, well, there are different things that you can do mystically, and maybe you can get as small as a keyhole and go in and out of a door, or be as large or even larger than Putana and do all types of mischievous things. And you can just have you can have a playground of things to do with the mystic yoga system, but then what else happens? What else happens after that? Where does it lead to? And in all the years and what I know, and I know a little bit, it's that it doesn't lead anywhere. It's after a while you become bored, and sometimes people become even more mischievous with certain special talents. But we shouldn't hanker after mysticism because it doesn't impress the Lord. It does nothing. And the Sankhya philosophy, from what I'm understanding, the crux of it is just it's speculating in its understanding the difference between material and spiritual. Now, that's what I got from it. There are other details, but that stands out. And, of course, you know, at the end, please correct me if that's not proper, but the Sankhya philosophy, the understanding that you're not this body, your spirit soul, you're going to discover that also, as well as having any mystic or mysticism, any potency, that comes through devotional service, if that's what you want. So you don't just have to focus on mysticism or just speculating. None of it leads anywhere. And sometimes philosophy is very dry, and after that it's like, okay, so now what do we do next? What's even more important is that the Lord has a much sweeter, better connection with the devotee when there is a direct, loving service. And that's devotional service. That's also bhakti yoga. And bhakti yoga is so much more personal. And it says here in the scriptures that the Lord is controlled by the love of his devotees. And it speaks of how we should completely depend on the Lord. The Lord doesn't have to have anything from us. He needs absolutely nothing. He controls everything. He has everything. So whatever we're doing, it's because we're trying to learn how to love the Lord. And as was mentioned yesterday also, I have to keep going back to Jayapataka Swami because he amazes me. But he was saying how important it is to hear about the realizations of the Lord, and to try to understand them, because when you begin to understand who it is we're serving and how magnanimous and how great Lord Krishna is, then you're going to fall in love with him and you will want to do more service for him. You'll want to serve him. And in his particular condition, he's wanting to pay back Srila Prabhupada for all the things that Srila Prabhupada did for him. So, you know, that's a loving exchange too. It's a high loving exchange, but an even higher loving exchange is bhakti yoga, and that's the serving the Lord directly and doing it without any ulterior motives that you want something in return. That's not love. That's not devotional service. That's a business transaction. And most of us have those in our relationships. We have it in our families. It's like, you do this for me and I'll do that. It's that old practice. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. That is not the way you serve people. And you can't fool the Lord by thinking that that's what you're going to do and he'll do this for you. Sometimes we think we're smarter than the Lord. I even came into the movement thinking, oh, this I can do on the side and the Lord's not going to know it. I was mad. I was out of my mind. It's like, what can I possibly do in this world that the Lord does not know about? He knows the count of every hair on your head. How would he not know what I am thinking or thinking about doing, what to say? If he's known what I've done in my past lives, that if I remembered them now, I'd go mad. And that's a good thing. We don't remember them. That's the other distinct quality about the Lord. Even though we weren't talking about distinct qualities, he remembers all of the past times. His, ours, and his are constantly going on in the spiritual world. But the point that I'm trying to make is when we're serving the Lord, it should be with love, it should be with devotion, and it should be because we want to do this. It's like, I was thinking of a simplistic relationship, and the most simple one that comes to me is the love between a mother and a child. But it's a very high love because, you know, and a father too, because a parent will do whatever needs to be done by that child within reason, because there's a love that's developed. I mean, you bring this child comes into a family,
And the child needs you. And the child learns from you. And we as human beings all have a need or desire to be needed. When you look at our altars and you look at Radha, Radha is that pleasure potency, that serving, that loving exchange. The Lord doesn't have to have it, but it's like, what does that feel like? So we have that same relationship with the parent and the child. It does a parent's heart good. It does mine good. When my son or my daughter or my grandchild needs or wants me for the simplest little thing, it's like, can you wipe my nose? Can you wipe this tear from my eye? It's like, oh my gosh, they need me for this. I'm sure mom and dad can do it, but this is the thing that goes on my mind is a grandmother. Needing, in that loving exchange, you love that child, and that child loves you as far as they know you can do no harm and no wrong, and we kind of in our minds, I think, the same way, but it's that loving devotional exchange kind of stepped up a couple of times between the Lord and the devotee. That's what gets the Lord's heart. That's what's more important than the Lord. And it's all about surrendering too, because you have to let go of the things that you think you know and just serve someone else. I find that if I'm in a mood where something's going on and, you know, I hate to bring up the body, but with the body, some challenge, I find that if I put my mind on someone else or something else, it takes my mind off that immediate concern and I'm fine. And in surrendering to the Lord, when you surrender to Lord Krishna, everything that you could possibly want is already known to the Lord, has already been taken care of. So you don't have to worry about, oh, that promotion. I mean, am I going to get that promotion? Is this guy's performance better than mine? Is this lady's performance better than mine? Have they had more years? Have they had, how many degrees do they have? I really need this promotion, Krishna. Is this going to be the perfect mate for me for life? We're so concerned. We're so very concerned about those things. Is this the right car for me? Does it really help my image? We don't really need to concern ourselves with that if we're really surrendering to the Lord. Because when you surrender to the Lord, when you're serving the Lord, it is stated in the scriptures. Let me see if I can get this correct. I may not get it, but the Lord, first of all, maintains what you have and carries what you lack always, and the Lord promises to take care of his devotees. But somewhere in the process of surrendering, that sounds to most of us, when our minds are still growing, that means we're giving up something. It's like, oh my gosh, if I surrender to the Lord, I'm not going to have any fun anymore. I'm not going to be able to do this and do that. But what happens, and what's wonderful, is that the Lord is so tolerant with us. He lets us grow into our own natural relationship with him. And when you discover that once you surrender to the Lord and once you develop a taste for bhakti yoga or devotional service, you will develop a taste for it if you're doing it properly. The Lord will provide whatever it is you need. I'm still learning the devotees here in the community, and I have to keep using myself as an example. Whatever my needs are, they're right here. But it took me to get to this point in Dallas to really realize, and I've been in the movement for many years. And I look back, now I have an opportunity to look back while I'm here in the Dom, to look and see how the Lord has been providing for me And I've been gradually surrendering. I didn't realize I was surrendering, but I was serving him. And in the process of serving him, he was honing or perfecting my taste for the things that I desired so that my desires were in alignment with his. And I heard this also from a young Bhaktin yesterday. She's been in the movement for maybe a year, but that was her understanding of Krishna consciousness. In the short time that she's been here, she discovered that devotees are a very special group. I've been this, I've been that, but I find that with devotees, they don't want anything from you. They want to give. And that's not something that you come across in this world now of, what have you got to give me? I want this, I want that. That's not what we're about. Hopefully, we're a good example of showing what devotional service is, how special it is, and leading those to understand their natural and true relationship with the Lord. But her comment was, you know, as you're learning to study and understand the Lord, you're learning to surrender, and then in the process, your desires that were maybe a little contaminated, and then most of them are, that were contaminated initially, are changed, and they're in line with your natural condition or position with the Lord. And once this takes place, then the Lord abundantly gives you this, gives you that, because it's okay. It's what you need. He's very happy to do that. And as far as surrendering, don't be afraid to surrender to the Lord. When you think that you go to sleep at night and the Lord's been providing for you lifetime after lifetime, things that we don't remember, but when you close your eyes at night, that's the closest state of death. You're not even, you know, the consciousness leaves the body and you're in some other time and space. And most of the time, you have no idea what's going on around you. Fire engines could be going down the street. There could be some altercation between the policeman and the criminal outside. You don't even know, but what you don't understand is that you've trusted, whether you realize it or not, someone enough to go to sleep at night and to know that you're going to be protected and you're going to wake up in the morning. That's our little way of surrendering. That's one way of surrendering to the Lord, because somewhere along the line you've learned that it's okay to do that because you'll wake up in the morning. So the point is, you've been surrendering after all this time, but you don't know it. But how about doing it now and you know it? And really putting the pedal to the metal and putting yourself behind the process of surrendering and serve the Lord with pure devotional service. It is very sweet. It is very blissful. And depending on what your personal relationship is with the Lord, and everyone's is totally different, that's almost unbelievable to realize that every single one of our relationships with Krishna is totally different. And Krishna does not discriminate. He does not treat one better than the other because you've had this type of education or you're from this particular country. It's like the sun. Srila Prabhupada says the sun does not discriminate. Poor man, someone that's not so elevated in society, the sun shines anyway. It doesn't just shine, oh, I'll shine here, I won't shine there. That's the same relationship that is with Krishna consciousness. It is for everyone. It is there. And we should accept it. Not only should we accept it, but we should become individual gurus. Now, don't panic with that one. I'm not saying everyone should go out and dress as a sannyasi, a guru dresses and get a danda. It's not. We should be teaching others and sharing with others as Guru shares with us, about the many, many different benefits of the relationship that we have with the Lord and letting people know what their actual position is in life. Encourage people to come to the temple, take prasadam. I was won over by prasadam initially. I was. My background was Christianity, so I wasn't so much into the deities at the time because I didn't understand who they were. I thought, someone told me they're idols. No, idols represent something that does not represent the Lord. This is the Lord on the altar. We have been blessed to have the Lord in different, many different manifestations. We are very, very fortunate. So, as I said, when I came to Krishna consciousness, I had a lot of different different beliefs. But over time, when I understood that there really was a Lord and that we actually had a relationship with him, then different barriers begin to break down. I begin to understand other individuals, and you begin to understand how closely related you are to everyone in the world. I don't care where you come from. We're all family. We are all part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are. But what totally amazes me still, and I pray that in my lifetime, and definitely in my children's lifetime, that they'll see it, when we can walk among each other and realize it doesn't matter how you speak, what country you're from, what color the skin is, we're connected because we're all spirit soul. And then it would be nice because then there wouldn't be any places where there's one country better than the other, that they have something and we want it and we're going to go after it because we believe it's ours and not theirs. In a family, you will have different opinions and different situations. But when you understand that you're family, you share, you compromise, and you come up with solutions. When we can get to the point where the entire world is Krishna consciousness, that would be a wonderful position to be in. Wonderful. You know, you get to the point where you don't have to lock the doors. It would be like living in the, I think in Gita Nagari, depending on whether you're living. Well, I better not say that because I don't want to give too much information away. But there are certain communities, there are certain villages in other countries where there's such an understanding of community that people actually leave their doors open because there's so much trusting. We need to get back to that. And I can't think of a better way of doing it than through Krishna consciousness. I mean, wouldn't you want to get to that point where, like the cowherd boys that I was speaking of, Hari Bol Prabhu, Hari Krishna, that you get to the point like the cowherd boys where you are trusting the Lord so much that you see this danger of the Agasura, the serpent, Agasura, and he's got his mouth wide open, enticing you to come in. And even though in the average person, if there's such an average person's eye, it's a dangerous situation. But these cowherd boys are so trusting of the Lord that they walk right into the mouth of the serpent, Agasura, because they have so much faith in Krishna that Krishna will save them. This is the point that we should be getting to. Not that we should be going into the mouths of serpents or whales or whatever, but we should have so much faith in the Lord that whatever we do in life, we don't look back behind us and think, is it going to work? Is this going to happen? Will I get this? Will that happen? We shouldn't be concerned. Dovetail all of the things that you're doing in the Lord's service. Center the Lord in the middle of whatever it is that you're doing. Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for dropping in. We should put the Lord in the center of our lives And everything will gravitate and around it. Whatever it is, if we're serving properly, and you'll know that too. Whatever our needs and desires are, we will have them. So the point that I'm making is we should continue our chanting, our reading, our good association with devotees, because that is so key. And maybe we might be fortunate enough to get to the point of the mindset that we can go about our lives having the most blissful situations with the Lord by doing devotional service under so many different categories, that all of our needs and wants are met. But that shouldn't be the goal. It'll happen anyway. The point is, develop our natural relationship with the Lord, and that is through direct devotional service. And watch how your life changes. And watch the understanding. Yes, if you want mysticism, yes, but understand that is not the end all and the be all. You can speculate with the best of, You can philosophize with the best. Srila Prabhupada could debate with the best. All through devotional service, you acquire these things if that is what is needed to further yourself on the mission of Krishna consciousness. So we don't have to go out of our way and engage ourselves in... you can engage in yoga, but don't let that be the end all. It's supposed to lead to you understanding your relationship with the Lord and detaching yourself from the material world and attaching yourself to the spiritual world through the relationship of the Lord. So I'll end at this point, and if anyone has any comments or corrections, please feel free to do so. But I'm always very thankful for anyone that comes this time in the morning, because yes, it is a wonderful time to be here. In Kali Yuga, there's so many people that have so many commitments. The temple is not the first place that they'll come. It's like, let me do this first, then I'll go to the temple. So thank you for being here. Thank you for the association. And as I said, if there are no comments, we'll end with Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Pramananda. Hari Hari Bo Hari Krishna Radha Kala Chanji Dam Ki Jai. Ah, that's a wide end question that could go so many different directions. The movement. When I'm speaking about movement, and if I'm sitting in the temple atmosphere or in the temple facilities, or probably in my house, I'm talking about Krishna consciousness. It's always been around. It always has existed. There were times when it did not get the attention that it deserved, but because the Lord is eternal, we are constantly existing. I'm speaking of the Krishna consciousness community. The environment, the philosophies, the movement is actually to a neophyte, it's about God consciousness. It's about our relationship with the Lord. When I say movement, I'm talking about our relationship with the Lord and getting back into our natural position. That's what I mean when I'm speaking about the movement, specifically when I am sitting before the Lord. What do you think about? That's true. That's true. Part of Krishna, yes. That's all a part of God consciousness. And those are the different. Book distribution, prasadam distribution.
I
Yes, you would. Yes, yes, you would. And if you're understanding God consciousness, there is nothing dull about it. There is nothing that just sits there and does nothing. The entire environment is enlivening. It is a totally different enlivenment that is more permanent than the material world could possibly offer us. Yes, these activities do go on. But that's where we come in and we begin to share these things with others, because to the untrained eye, to the neophyte, it's like, oh, this Krishna consciousness, their movement is, oh, they sell books in the airport, or they have those little bits of hair and the shaved head, and they have those different colored outfits, and that's what I think about them. Our responsibility is to show them and help them to understand how much more it is than what they're seeing with the material eye. And yes, there are so many movements and activities that go on in Krishna consciousness. It's unlimited. It's always it's a plethora of movements and activities, seemingly to never cease, never ceasing. So that's what I think about. That's a good question, Prabhu. Very good question. Thank you for listening online. It's always a good idea to come together and to talk about something that's important, something that you want to share with someone else that's relevant. And nowadays, there are not too many things that are relevant. This is relevant because it is, and it has been since time immemorial, and the things that we know here can help a person get through this life, and if necessary, get through the next life. So it is our responsibility, and how we put it out there each time we're out there representing Krishna consciousness. We should do it with love and compassion, and we shouldn't beat people over the head or guilt trip them or anything. We don't need to. We do it with love. You will, what is that old saying? You'll attract more flies with honey. There's an old saying that you will attract more flies with honey, which means that you'll attract more people with sweetness and loving things, as opposed to things that are not so things that are negative, as opposed to things that are negative and not so nice, or that makes one feel like they want to be a part of something. We want to present this in such a way that someone wants to share what we have, and they want to be a part of whoever we are a part of. And as I said, the devotee, the bhaktin that I was speaking with yesterday, her idea of the movement so far, and it's been about a year since she's been in, is that we don't want anything. We're not asking them for anything, but she noticed there's so much love and so much friendliness here. And then she's studying the philosophy. She wants to study the philosophy. We should make the situation such that people want to come. Give them a good atmosphere, a good picture, a good environment of the movement, so that they'll want to come. Because ultimately, when you understand what Krishna consciousness or God consciousness is about, you want to be a part of it, and you never ever want to let it go. You never want anyone to take it from you. And if we're doing it right, put it in the middle of your life so that everything else evolves around it and becomes a part of it. And hopefully we can live in harmony. Thank you for that question. Again, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Paramananda. Hare Krishna.